According to Rambam, the way he orders it, first he tells you need to pray. If you need to pray, then you need a shul. So that's chapter 11. So 10 chapters of prayer. Now, then a chapter about building a synagogue to house the prayer. And now with chapter 12, the Rambam now gets into Torah reading, which is not prayer. It's Torah reading. However, it takes place in the context of prayer, usually during Shacharit, sometimes during Mincha. And so it is included in the section of Rambam called Prayer and Blessing the Kohanim. That's what we're going to talk about today. Reading of the Torah, number one, Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher, Tikin Lahem Li Yisrael, Shiyukoyden Batoyder, Barab, Mishabes, Vashinim, Chamisha, Bishab, Lish, Yishul, Yisham, Lish, Mish, Teyder. How many times during the week you have to read the Torah? Moses established it as follows. On Shabbos, on Monday, on Thursday, and why is this? So we should not go for 3 days without hearing the Torah. Now let's do the math. So you got to do it Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. Well, technically we could have skipped Monday and gone to Tuesday. We could have gone Tuesday and Wednesday. We could have done Tuesday and Thursday, Tuesday and Friday. So it doesn't really explain why we picked Monday and Thursday. What it does say is we're going to have Torah reading twice during the weekdays in order that we don't go 3 days without Torah. Why were Monday and Thursday chosen? Commentaries say that Monday and Thursday have a special connection with Torah, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Mount Sinai on Thursday and he came down on a Monday. Monday and Thursday also are days where the people from the villages come into the city to deal with some issues. And do they come because that's when there's going to be Torah reading? Or do we have Torah reading because that's when they come? I don't know. But it is a day that the villagers come in. And these are some of the ideas behind Monday and Thursday. But the idea that you shouldn't go 3 days without hearing Torah, that the Talmud in Tractate Baba Kama derives that from the Jews traveling in the desert. It says that they had traveled for 3 days and didn't find water and they got tired. The Jews traveled and didn't find water to drink and they were tired. In other words, the Torah is saying, if you go 3 days without water, you're going to get tired, get dehydrated. The Torah is the water of the Jewish people. It keeps us hydrated. Keeps us energized. So you can't go 3 days without Torah reading. Otherwise, you're going to get tired out. So that was all by Moshe Rabbeinu Moses. Ezra, one of the last of the prophets, the one who led the Jewish people in the second commonwealth, building of the second temple, Ezra established another Torah reading at the Mincha of on Shabbos, the afternoon of Shabbos. Why? Mishum Yoishve Kranis, because of the people who are shopkeepers. What does that mean, they're shopkeepers? Well, the people who are shopkeepers doesn't mean shopkeepers. It means anybody who is busy during the week and can't make it to the Monday and Thursday Torah reading. In order to give them an extra boost of Torah to keep them alive for the week, Ezra established the reading of the Torah on Shabbos Mincha, an extra reading. According to other commentators, it's to prevent people from getting out of hand towards the end of Shabbos. You know, it's a long Shabbos, people are getting bored, they are getting drunk, the Farbrengen's getting out of hand. So Ezra established, as Shabbos is going out, before sunset, we're going to have another Torah reading, let's bring everybody back in case things getting out of hand. Those are two different interpretations of why he established it. Ezra also established that when we read the Torah on Monday and Thursday, we should have three people that are being called up that are going to read or say the blessing. And also, so in other words, before that, it could have been just one person. And also that it shouldn't be less than 10 verses. The significance of these numbers, of course, the number three is very much related with Torah, as we know, given in the third month by Moshe, who's the third, is Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. It's the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. There's Kohanim, Levi'im, Israelim, and so forth. The number three is very strongly tied to Torah, and that's why it should be at least three. And the 10 psukim, of course, correspond to the 10 commandments and the 10 utterances with which God created the world. for the sake of the Torah. Number two, these are the days that you read the Torah in public. Read the Torah privately every day, but in public you read it as follows: on Shabbos, on holidays, on the first of the months, on fast days, on Hanukkah and Purim, Monday and Thursday of every week. How about the Haftorah? When do we do Haftorahs? That is only on Shabbat and Yom Tov and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is coming up in approximately 3 weeks. We know that our custom is we also read Maftir and Haftorah at the Mincha of fast days, not just Tisha B'Av, but Rambam, what he's stating in his custom is only Tisha B'Av was there a Haftorah. Number three, and it's very interesting. Why Tisha B'Av? Why is Tisha B'Av the exception? Because Tisha B'Av is also called the festival. Because when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a festival. So it's included in festival. Number three, he doesn't mention Yom Kippur, by the way, and includes that in festivals as well. Number three, in order to read from the Torah scroll in public, there has to be 10 free men who are adults, over 13. We don't do less than 10 verses. And the verse that begins, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, and God spoke to Moses saying, which is just a kind of introductory verse. You might think, is that counted as one of the 10? Or if that's one of the 10, you need an 11th. Rambam says, don't worry about it. Vayidaber, that verse is also counted as one of the 10. Don't have less than 3 people being called up. So we have parshas in the Torah. Now you think of your parsha, what's the parsha of the week? It's Pinchas, Bereishis, Noach. That's not what parsha means in Rambam talk. Parsha in Rambam and Halacha means a section of the Torah that is identified by a break in the Torah scroll. So within one parsha, in the colloquial sense, like this week is Parshas Pinchas. So that's one parsha Pinchas. But within Pinchas, there could be 10, 15, 20 parshas. Sections where the Torah, where in the Torah scroll, by tradition of thousands of years, there's a space between one paragraph or another. So you can call them paragraphs. Some of them are really long, but they're sections. A parsha is a section. So what Rambam is saying here is, don't start reading from one of those sections less than 3 psukim, 3 verses from the end of the section. There has to be at least 3 verses to the end of the section in order to begin reading from that section. Now, today we don't really have these questions because everything is delineated for us. This is number 1, this is number 2, Aliyah 1, Aliyah 2. But back in the day, these things weren't necessarily established. Even today, sometimes people want to add Aliyot, not a Chabad, but other congregations, they do that. It's a custom, it's a valid custom. So you have to make sure that if you're creating an Aliyah from scratch, in other words, you're saying, okay, we're going to start here for this Aliyah, make sure that there are 3 verses left within that Parsha. And then when you're ending your Aliyah, don't end without leaving 3 verses to go to the end of the Parsha. Below, you can prepare to Parchas Mishleish Psukim. So nobody, when you get an Aliyah, it should never be less than 3 psukim. You don't get an Aliyah that's only 2 verses. That's just not kosher. Number 4, we're going to start moving really quick because there's 24 halachas in this chapter. So we're going to move quickly, and at the end we'll have questions and comments. Shloish Shkoda Asar Psukim. If 3 people, we're going to divide 10 psukim for 3 people. How do we do it? So 2 of them are going to do 3. One of them is going to do 4. And the Rambam tells us it doesn't make a difference who does 4 and who does a 3. It could be the first guy getting the 4, the last guy, or the middle guy. It's all good. Number 5. Whoever's getting called up to read from the Torah. Now, I should say, each one of the readers, right? He's calling each of the people coming up for an Aliyah a reader. Is everyone who gets called up for the Torah a reader? Not anymore. But back in the day, the way the original established custom was, whoever was getting called up, they're reading from the Torah. There was no reader of the Torah. Everybody who was called up was a reader. That's why the Rambam's calling that the Korin, the ones that are reading. Eventually, what happened was people were embarrassed to get called up and they didn't know how to read. So we established a reader who would just do it for everybody. So you get called up to read. You got to look inside the Torah at the place you're going to read from. That makes sense. And then, because you don't, then you're going to say the blessing. And the reason for that is you don't want to say the blessing and then start looking, hey, where do I start? You want to say the blessing and go straight to your reading. And you say Baruch Hu, and then everybody answers Baruch Hashem Baruch Lamed, and then you go and say the blessing over the Torah, Sher Bachar Ban Umikol Hamim, that God chose us from all the nations and gave us His Torah. Blessed you, God, giver of the Torah. And everybody answers Amen. Then you read. The reader reads until he's finished, and he closes the Sefer Torah, Vigolel. He rolls the Torah closed. And he says the blessing, Baruch Hashem, Kenem Cholam, Sher Natan Lanu, who gave us his Torah, Torah SMS, Torah of Truth, and Chai Olam, eternal life, or the life of this world, he planted within us. Bless you, God, who gave us the Torah. Interesting. The Rambam says that when he finishes and he does the after blessing, he first rolls up the scroll and then says the after blessing. But regarding the first blessing, he doesn't say that he rolls up the scroll. And in fact, the commentaries say, Kesef Mishnah, that according to Rambam, you're supposed to keep the scroll open when you recite that first blessing. That is not the Chabad custom, but it is the Rambam's custom, and many synagogues follow that. The reason the Rambam makes this distinction is based on the Gemara, that if you're going to roll the Torah closed before you say the blessing, then it takes a little extra time to open it up again after the blessing to start the reading. That is taking time from the congregation. These Jews are very impatient. And as we mentioned in the previous class, tircha d'tzibura, you don't want to mess with a congregation. You don't want to stall. It's live TV. You got to keep moving. So Rambam, his opinion is that in the first blessing, you keep the Torah open when you say the blessing so that you can dive right into the reading. Why then, by the second blessing, do you, yes, close the Torah scroll before saying the blessing? The answer is, because you got to close it anyway eventually. It's not going to stall any time, whereas the first blessing it will, and that's why he makes this distinction. The advantage...
You might also lose your place, sorry to interrupt, but if you close it before you start the first, you found your place, but then you close it. It's very easy to, when I've opened it again, where was it, right? That's a risk.
Excellent point, Jonathan. Thank you. The point of closing it, so why close it at all, in the beginning or at the end? The answer is that the disadvantage of keeping it open is, number one, it can appear to people as if the blessings are in the Torah. That's one explanation that's given. Another explanation is given is that, at least at the end, why you close that at the end is that, you know, it's done. We're not reading from it anymore, so it's appropriate to close it. We have this idea, you're not supposed to leave the Torah open when it's not being read from. So maybe that's why there's a custom to close it during the blessing as well, according to the opinions that you do close it at the beginning. We have the same thing with a sitter, by the way, with a sitter or a chumash. If it's not being used, it should be closed. It's a respect. Wonderful. Let's keep going. Number six. Okay. How does it go? The guy gets up there. He says the blessing. Now the Torah reader is going to begin reading. But people are going to be saying amen to the blessing of the person who said the blessing. Don't start reading from the Torah until the amen is done. We have this in Judaism. Don't cut things off. Don't jump the gun. Let whatever needs to happen, let it happen. Let the amen be said, then go into your Torah reading. Let's say he reads it and he makes a mistake in reading, even the precise pronunciation of one letter. Never happens in our congregation, but it happens in other congregations. You tell the Torah reader, sorry, you got to go back, reread it. Read it right. And you shouldn't have two people reading at once. It should be one person so you could actually hear what it's saying. Let's say he's reading and he loses the ability to speak. He gets befuddled. So somebody else has to come up and take over. As we learn with the Chazan, you call him up from the bench. Here's something interesting. Remember we had, when we talked about the Chazan, where does he begin. And what did we learn? We learned that he jumps right into wherever the first chazan was. You don't have to go back to the beginning. You jump right into the beginning of the blessing where he was, the beginning of the set. What about with Torah reading? Torah reading, Rambam tells us, he should go back to where the first guy started. So that's like the beginning of the blessing, right? In the case of the Amidah. He shouldn't just pick up in the middle of the Aliyah. He should go back to the beginning of the Aliyah. And the reason for that is, explained in the commentaries, that if he starts in the middle, then the blessing that was recited before that Aliyah is not going to apply to what the second reader is reading. Because it was a break in the action, it's going to dissociate the pre-blessing from the reading of the second reader. So that you're going to end up with only an after-blessing. But if he backs up and he goes back to the place where the Aliyah started, that's going to connect him to that blessing, the pre-blessing, and the second blessing will be covered as well. A little subtle idea, but that's how it's explained. Number seven. Okay, so back in the day, right, you could have somebody go up to the Torah and start reading. I got the first Aliyah. No, can't do that. Wait, there's a gabbai, there's somebody in charge. He's going to say who reads first, who reads second, and so forth. Even if you're the chazan or the gabbai of the Knesset, you can't do that. Somebody, the congregation, this has to be a democratic process, or the leader of the congregation can say, you read. The Jews are very antsy. They want to get up there and read. It has to be a system. Here we have this idea, which we also see today, that you don't want to have one person up there reading on his own. Or today, have just the reader and the person getting the Aliyah, who really is one. There should be another person standing up there at the Bima during the reading of the Torah. Why? This is fascinating. Too bad our Gabbai is not here. Is anybody here a Gabbai? In Yeshul? Do we have any Gabbais here tonight? No Gabbais. So what the Talmud and Yerushalmi says is that the way the Torah was given to us by God, it wasn't direct. He gave it through an agent, through his agent, Moses. Moses was God's agent. And so similarly, when the Torah is being read, you have somebody there besides the Torah reader representing this idea of Moses passing on the Torah to the Jewish people. The Mishnah Berura quotes from Masechet Sofrim that you should have two people flanking, because you have God, you have Moses, and you have the Jewish people, and those are represented by the three people, like the one on the right, the one on the left, and the Torah reader and the person getting the Aliyah. The Gabbai represents God. See, Moses, if Marcos should have come to this class, he would have heard it. I'm sure somebody will let him know. Okay. Number eight. Could be a dangerous thing to tell the Gabbai. Anyway. Ches ha-koyre yeshli l'dali mimakim l'mokim. The Torah reader can skip from one place to another in the Torah. So actually, we're going to be doing that when we read the Torah tomorrow at Mincha for the fast day of the 17th of Tammuz. We're going to start. It's a story of after the golden calf, where Moses prays to God to forgive the Jewish people, and we skip a whole page within the Torah. So the first Aliyah is Vayechal Moshe, and that's over here. Then we roll the Torah a bit, like a page or two, and we read the rest of it further on. The Rambam says you're allowed to do that. He doesn't give the example I just gave. Rather, he gives from Achare Mot, which is about the story of Yom Kippur, and Ach Ba'aser, and Menal HaKoyanim. And the caveat is that it has to be in the same topic. But you can't read by heart. When you're skipping, a person doesn't want to stall, right? He says live TV. So while he's turning the page, he might be tempted to read out by memory where he's trying to get to. Rambam says don't do that. You must read it from the scripture, from the writing. Minaksav. It's not allowed to be read ba'al peh, which means from memory. Even one word. And I happen to be a Torah reader. When we turn from one column to the next, I always make sure to read that last word from the Torah scroll, not already looking up at the top of the next page or turning the page and just reciting it based on from what I saw. Read it from the book, from the scroll, then you go up to the next column. And if you're rolling, it shouldn't take longer than the amount of time it takes for the interpreter, and we'll read about that in a minute, to interpret the pasuk. Again, live TV, you don't want any downtime. The way it happens today, or it happened tomorrow at the reading, the rolling is going to happen in between aliyahs, and it's not very far. Ooh, this one we should hang up in our shul. Once the Torah reader begins reading the Torah, it is forbidden to talk. Congregants are forbidden to talk. Even if they want to talk about halacha or discuss the Torah portion that's being read, everybody is supposed to listen and be quiet. And they have to pay attention to what is being read, as it's written in Nehemiah. The ears of all the people were attentive to the Torah scroll. It's also forbidden to leave the shul while the Torah reading is in progress. You are allowed to leave the shul in between aliyahs, literally between man and man, the men getting the aliyahs. There is an exception. Somebody who is engaged in Torah study, tamid, constantly, and the Torah is his occupation. That's all he does. He is allowed to study Torah during the reading of the Torah. He could be reading some other, he could be learning Gemara. If that's his entire occupation, that's all he does. Number 10, from the days of Ezra mentioned above. Wow, we're not even halfway through and we got 6 minutes to go. Better pick up speed. From the days of Ezra, the custom was that there was an interpreter, and he would interpret for the congregation what was being read in the Torah in order that people will understand what's going on. So the way it would be done is the Torah reader would read one verse, and then he would be quiet till the interpreter interpreted, and that was in Aramaic. And then he would read the second verse, and so on and so forth. The reader should not read more than one verse at a time for the interpreter. Number 11, I have a good joke about Jimmy Carter and interpreters after we're done. Yud Aleph, the reader should not raise his voice louder than the interpreter, and vice versa. The interpreter should not raise his voice higher than the reader. He shouldn't start interpreting until the verse has been concluded from the mouth of the Torah reader. By the same token, the Torah reader should wait until the Meturgaman is finished translating before he starts up with the next verse. The Turgaman, the translator, should not be leaning neither on a pillar nor on a beam, but he should stand with reverence and with trepidation. He shouldn't be translating from a written text. He should be saying it by heart. The reader should not be helping out the translator, so nobody should say that the translation is written in the Torah. A person of a katan, it could either mean a minor, but here he translates as a person of lesser stature may serve as a translator for a person of greater stature, but it's not befitting the honor of a person of greater stature to serve as a translator for a person of lesser stature. So obviously the more prestigious position is to be the reader. You shouldn't have the same person being the Torah reader and the interpreter. It's two different jobs for two different people. Number 12, censorship. Here we go. We do not translate everything that's in the Torah publicly. The story of Reuven, Birkas Koyanim, the blessing of the Koyanim, Maisa Egel, the story of the eagle, the calf, V'yom Meshalan Ad V'yom Meshasam, All of these verses are read in Hebrew, but they're not translated. At the end, we can go through it and explain why each of these are left untranslated. The story of Amnon, this is in the prophets, where it says Amnon ben David, it is read and not translated. Basically, these are all things that the people, you have to really delve into the story to appreciate the story. If you just get the simple translation, you could come away with the wrong impression. Therefore, we don't translate it. Number 13, or it said embarrassment to certain individuals. Therefore, we leave it alone. 13, Hamafter Benovi, Tzara, looks about Torah, Tchil. Okay, so this is where we're introducing the idea of a Haftorah. And Haftorah is a portion of the Navi. Even though we're out of time, I'm going to tell you that the reason that we have Haftorah is because it was, this is in the Bach. The reason that we have Haftorah is because it was a period in Jewish history when we were forbidden, it was verboten, to read from the Torah. So what did our sages do? They said, okay, we'll read from the Haftorah. And they split up the Haftorah into seven sections. Today we just read it as one. But back in the day, they did it in seven sections to mimic, to reflect the way the Torah is read. That's how you end up with why there has to be 21 verses. Rambam is going to say there should be 21 verses in the Haftorah. Why? 3 times 7 is 21. Amafter Benavi. So first you got to read Torah first. Even just 3 verses. And Chayzer Gamash Karlofanab. So the Maftir, as we just had, Jonathan did the Maftir this past Shabbos. You read first 3 verses from the Torah at least, and then you have the Haftorah. But after Benavi, you shouldn't start the Navi, the prophets, until you've rolled the Torah and rolled it up, like we do Hagba. Shouldn't be less than 21 verses. If the idea is done before 21 verses, it's okay. This idea of 20 verses is not critical. If you had 10 verses and translated by a translator, that's also enough, even if it wasn't a complete subject. When it comes to the prophets, you could have one reading and you could have 2 people translating. You're allowed to skip from one thing to another. So he's making distinctions between Torah reading and prophet reading. But you shouldn't jump from one prophet to another prophet unless you're dealing with the prophets that of the 12 prophets. Since it's short, it's easy to get from one to another. As long as you're not skipping from the end, from the beginning to an end. Again, live TV, we don't want to stall too much. When you're skipping, it shouldn't take longer than it takes for the translator to do his translation. 14, Hakoyre Banovi, somebody who's reading in the prophets, he can read, not like Torah, which we said only one verse at a time. Here you can read 3 verses at a time, and the translator is going to do translation for all 3. And if there was 3 psukim, if the 3 psukim were 3 different sections, then you have to do each section separately. Number 15, Hamafter Benavi, when you do the Haftorah, you say a blessing before. And the blessing is, Baruch Hashem Kacholam, Asher Bachar Benavim, who chose the prophets, etc. And then afterwards, there are 4 blessings. The first blessing ends with God, who is Neman B'chol Dvarav, he's trustworthy in all of his words. The second one ends, Builder of Jerusalem. Third one ends, Bless you, God, Shield of David. The fourth one ends, about the day that is being read. Okay, so on a fast day, there is no 4th blessing. It just ends, Magen David, done. But on Shabbat, you end up, Mekadesh HaShabbat. If it's Yom Tov, Mekadesh Yom Tov, Zmanim. And also, if it comes out on Rosh Chodesh, which is Shabbos, you mention Rosh Chodesh in this blessing, just as you mention it in the prayer. I believe that's not our custom. Number 16, Kamehin HaKoyin, how many people get called to the Torah? Depends. If it's Shabbos, 7. If it's Yom Kippur, 6. If it's Yom Tov, 5. You don't have less than that, but you could have more. Rosh Chodesh, as I mentioned earlier, that's not the Chabad custom, but that is a pretty universal custom. When you have like a big simcha and there's a lot of relatives, and you can't, who are you going to give the aliyah? Not this one. So they add. They just break up the parsha into smaller portions. But Rosh Chodeshim on Rosh Chodesh and the intermediate days of the holiday, you have 4 people getting called up to aliyah. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, by Mincha, Shabbos and Yom Kippur at Mincha, and on Monday and Thursdays throughout the year, and on Chanukah and on Purim, by Shacharis, by morning prayer, and days of fast days, by Shacharis and by Mincha, you get 3 people getting called up. You never have less than this, and you don't add. So it's only on Shabbat when you can add, on Shabbat and Yom Tov or Yom Kippur that you can add, but not when you have the days when you're only having three or four. Number 17, Isha lo tikra betzibur. A woman should not be the Torah reader because of the honor to the congregation. Katanei de likra.